not a phony. He's not just a preacher. This guy is the real deal.
So stand and welcome the real deal, Dan Muller.
That's hilarious. Oh, my goodness. Thanks, guys. Grab a seat. You know you're the real deal when you walk in a men's room talking. You ladies don't understand that because you're a lot freer than us in the restroom. I heard that. I heard you ladies talk in the ladies' room, in the stalls, through the babies will crawl in and get to the wrong legs. And over the next stall, baby, you know. But the men aren't like that. The men just walk in and stand at the wall and stare at the block right in front of them. You'll be talking to a friend going in the men's room. As soon as you hit the door, they stop talking to you. In, out. I love messing that up. I walk right up and I say, hey, guys, how's everybody doing? It's hilarious. It's like you're not supposed to talk in the men's room. I think we think that. So I'll do it. I'll walk in there and I go, hey, guys, everybody good? And they're like, they think you're looking, you know? It's funny. So I'm pretty free. I realize I'm free if I follow Tim in there. Hey! Hilarious. I went in a bathroom and it was the little boy's one there. It was way down low and it was the only one open. And I walked up to it and the guys are all just staring at their block. And I said, wouldn't you know Jesus does that to me all the time? And they're like, I said, he told me to be like a child. He really takes it serious. I mean, and people are just, it's hilarious. Oh my goodness. Okay. I just thought, what an introduction. I'm the real deal. I walked in the bathroom and talked. Honestly, it's so funny. Not taking away from anything Tim said about the real deal thing, but one of the things that people have gotten to know me say and meet me, they've said it ever since I've been saved, and it's always I try to make it funny, but it's always been like, ah, they're like, you know what I like about you? You're for real. And I'm like, so what are you? Like halfway there, somewhat not. Brother, you're just so real. And I'm like, okay, what are we? And I think we're all called to be real, right? Come on. So it's just funny. I'm thinking, I don't want that to be like my testimony. That if everybody makes a big deal that you're so real, that means we're not used to that. And I'm thinking, well, you ought to be real. Real to your own heart, your own conscience. Come on. You start seeing your identity through the cross. And you start realizing God became a man to redeem your created value, purpose, and destiny. Come on, it's more than forgiving your sins, guys. It's more than getting up to mess up and pleading the blood. The blood speaks better things than that. Jesus shed his blood to redeem the destiny and purpose and identity of your life. Like what was lost through Adam was regained through Christ. He didn't come to save who was lost. He came to save that which was lost. Something was lost through sin. And it's man's identity. It's the image of God in man. It's the love of God through man. Not just the love of God to man, the love of God through man. Because he made man in his image. He made man to love, not need it. Be it. And the problem is when Adam sinned, he got cut off from love and became in need of love. So every man since Adam's been born into that dilemma. No identity, needing love, needing honored, needing appreciated, needing to feel valued, needing somebody to care. Come on, it's a rat race. It's an empty place. It's a lifeless place. It produces nothing. It can't be the way it was from the beginning. So Jesus came and modeled a life that we were created for. He's not just your suffering Savior. He's not just your sacrifice for sins. He modeled a life we were created for. He didn't say, sing to me and pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. That's amazing. He said, follow me. He came to save that which was lost. Every one of us were born into Adam. Every one of us. From the youngest age up, you were trying to find out who you were. Life was trying to teach you who you were. And most of us were really messed up in the truth about our lives at a very young age. We were a product of how it went down and how we responded. They laugh at you when you're 8 years old. You either become introverted and broken or a fighter. Has nothing to do with who you are. It's how you respond because you don't know truth. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes and hangs on a cross, and I get to see him and I understand if all he is my suffering savior, if he's just my forgiveness of sins, come on, that's not transforming. I don't see that transform people's lives. That's what we preach, that he's just here to forgive us of our sins so when the trumpet blows, our name's in a book and we can go to heaven. It's not what Jesus came for. He came to wash you clean and put heaven back inside of you. Put his life, his nature back inside of you. Put a new and living way back inside of you. So what used to hurt you doesn't hurt you anymore because you're living from different eyes. You've denied yourself. You've picked up your cross. You're following him. You're not just singing to him. You're not just praying to him for a better day. You're following him. Yeah? You don't love your own life unto death. Why? Because I didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. I denied myself. Yeah? Come on. And now I seek ye first the... What do I seek first? Not my well-being, not fairness. Not somebody to say the right thing, because somebody did the right thing. And if I find myself through this truth, it's going to make me free. And he who the Son sets free, he's free. It's going to come out your ears, right? That's 10 years ago. I'm not any better. 10 years ago, you don't think life unfolded in 10 years? You don't think situations happened? You don't think trials came? You don't think everybody, you think everybody just did the right thing and said the right thing and I'm just walking so in the spirit that everything just unfolded before me, smooth sailing because I'm above the earth. What, do you get that mentality? Do we preach that stuff? That is trash. That is not the truth. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. He delivers you out of them all by changing your perspective, the why behind your life, and your reason for being. He teaches you through the cross why you're alive. He teaches you why you wake up every day. He's a good teacher. Come on, you don't wake up to survive. You don't wake up to make it. You're already in. You don't wake up for people to treat you right or you're not going to do all right.
Come on.
If you're letting your well-being rest in the actions of others, no wonder we're not well. And then we're as strong as the weakness around us. Instead of the one that's inside of us. And all of a sudden life is always speaking louder than truth. And we're letting matter more what doesn't matter most. Come on, guys. Sorry this intensity got on me. It was really a fun, happy... But I'm not mad. You can tell I'm not mad at you. I didn't come here to correct you. I came here to tell you who you are. That he paid an amazing price for this thing. That God Almighty would let Holy Spirit put him in the womb of a woman? Ah, that is not a Christmas Easter thing. It's God in the flesh. God became flesh. Why? So we're forgiven and go to heaven someday? And hey, brother, ain't nobody perfect. It's good he forgives us. Stop that. Let's become something. Through this gospel, let grace have its perfect way and effect in our life by releasing faith in the truth so the truth can become our reality. All of a sudden, I realize I'm a lot more than failure. I'm a son from the beginning, and he wants to live inside of me and shine through me. He wants to love through me, forgive through me, make peace through me. He calls me and you and me
the body of Christ. That means the embodiment of Him. Whoo! That sounds a little more precious than forgiveness in heaven someday when we die. Never gonna die. Yay. So if I'm never going to die, I'm not living for fear. I'm not living for you to treat me right. I'm not living for better circumstances. I'm living to shine. I'm living to be like Him. I find myself in the freest place when I don't think for myself, but I think for the kingdom and I think for others. When nobody owes me nothing. What if you let the gospel teach you this one thing? That every morning you wake up, nobody owes you a thing. You owe no man anything but to love. That's how you shine. All of a sudden your heart can't be broken anymore. All of a sudden there can't be any more failed expectations because there's not any. Wonder in your marriage if you don't even wake up for your spouse to love you and do you right. Wonder if you just wake up to be like Jesus in your marriage. I wonder if your spouse is really struggling and not being anything like Jesus, and you don't let where they're not decide where you are. Amen. And you don't let what they don't see decide what you do see, but the light of the world's already settled your vision. Yes. And all of a sudden it ain't 50-50, tit for tat, marriage, a lot of work. Well, he said, well, she didn't. Well, I wouldn't if he didn't, if she didn't. Good preach. That's why my hair just keeps getting wider. It's not my fault. Come on. Because there's weakness in that. When you look at what that mentality produces, you can see it's not the fingerprints of heaven. When you look at your mentalities, your beliefs, your responses, your perspectives, when you look at what they produce, you'll find if it's from Him or not. Because if what you're believing doesn't produce life, doesn't release others, doesn't believe the best about others, doesn't lay down its life, then the wisdom you're living by isn't the wisdom of God. If it gives you an attitude and a reason to be right and a need to be right at the expense of another's destiny, at the expense of another's identity, we've crossed the line, we've missed the point. You regard no man according to the flesh. Why? Because the love of Christ has compelled me. And if one died, 2 Corinthians 5, if one died, all died. And if we live because He died, then we ought not to live for ourselves, but for Him that died. And therefore, judge no man according to what he appears to be. But see every man for what he's created for. Because forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. So why would we let their blindness multiply more blindness? Why don't we let light expose and remove darkness? Look, if your spouse knew who they really were, they wouldn't maybe be living the way they're living. When you react to them, you prove that you don't really know who you are either. When you hear a preacher preaching stuff like this and you've elbowed your spouse, you reveal that I'm talking to you. Because we're always waiting and expecting for someone to do us right, but we're missing we've already been done right. So you receive that and live from that place and do the same. That's called following Him. You love others like He loved you. You forgive others like He forgave you. You show mercy like He showed you mercy. Yeah, but you don't understand, brother, my marriage. Stop. That's a cop-out. That's an excuse. If God had that language in His mouth, He'd have never sent His Son. You wouldn't be sitting here filled with His Spirit. Don't take that for granted. Don't separate yourself from who God is just because you grew up apart from Him and were trained apart from Him. It's time to die to yourself and live unto Him. Put off the old, put on the new. Renew your mind and be transformed. Yeah, but they put me through so much, brother. When is enough enough? If God said that, you're in trouble. If you can't put what you're thinking in the mouth of the Lord and make it fit, then get it out of yours. Here's the thing about the Lord. He's been nothing but right from the beginning. Nothing but just and holy and pure. He's perfect. He's not made a mistake. Men have accused him of such. That's because men have fallen and become proud in their own selves. But when the clay assumes on the potter, that's a sure sign of the fall. Well, I can't wait till I get to heaven. I got a thing or two I need to talk to God about. You'd have no clue what you're even saying in your arrogance. The only reason you can talk like that and think like that is because Adam ate the tree and lived separate from God, and that's how you're talking. You're going to get in his presence, and that'd be a funny day right there. You're not gonna have an attitude. I don't even know how we would even know. It's going to be overwhelming. Because of his majesty, his righteousness, and his holiness. And most people that are super deceived, probably before they disintegrate or fall to the dust, before he does whatever he does in his mercy, they're just going to go, oops. Like, do you think you're going to stand before the Lord and look into his fiery eyes of liquidy love and truth and majesty and say, oh, I'd have believed in you more if it wasn't for my spouse. No, in that moment, you're going to wonder why you let your spouse be Lord of your life. Amen. And why you went to church and sang all the right songs and let everything else matter more. And you're going to realize you missed the greatest privilege and gift of your life to be like him. Let us make man in our image. In the image and likeness of God, he made man. I promise you, your spouse doesn't come first. Your children don't come first. Image was before fruitful and multiply. Don't even let your children decide who you are and how you are. You love them. You pray for them. You believe the best for them. But let your child turn out the light that God put in you. Don't lose your productivity because they're in trouble. Don't let your life be dictated even by your family unless you love less. Your mother, your father, your spouse, your children, your houses, your land. You'll buy, and yes, your own life. Unless you love less, that intimate list that we always seem to let matter more than what matters most. Unless you love less that list. You'll by no means, no way, will you ever be a disciplined, wholehearted follower and be a disciple. Oh, you can go to church, see your need for a Savior. You can be forgiven of sins because you're sincere and repentant, but we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. If you don't love less that list, you'll never fulfill why you're here because that list will get in the way all the time and determine how well you shine. Well, I'd do better if God would just bring my child back. Well, I'd do better if God would just bring my spouse back. Stop. You'll do better if you believe him first. And understand why he came and who he is and who you are now that he's here. He seems to believe that you're worth his blood. He seems to think that putting his life inside of you is worth paying for. Not your blessing, putting his life in you. He didn't pay for smooth circumstances. He paid to put who he is back inside of you. Because in that day, he breathed into dirt with a vision, with a desire, with an intimate heart towards something called man. And the dirt became a living being. That, we really believe that? And the dirt became what God saw. But not just living, like him. Guess what was lost through sin? like him. And guess what we were trained by our whole lives? Apart from him. Wisdom of the world, self-centered, self-seeking. Do you know how many Christians are Christians for their own well-being? That's why they're discouraged in life. They're sincere about the cross. They recognize they need a Savior. But he's more than saving you from your sins. He's saving you from yourself. The biggest problem on the planet is men living for themselves when they're made for God's image. I'm convinced it's not politics. It's not President Trump. It's not ISIS. It's not racial conflict. The biggest problem on the planet is men waking up every day living for themselves when they're made for God's image. So Jesus said, look, if you decide to come after me, don't just attend New Beginnings and sing loud. Don't even be sincere and raise your hands high. Before you do all that, there's something you got to do before you do all that. Before you read your Bible every day and be part of a local church and pray that prayer that gets your name in a book called Life, there's something you got to do before you do all that. If you're going to come after me, there's something you got to do. You got to deny yourself, because you living for you has been the biggest problem of your life, because you think somebody owes you something when you're created to owe love. Come on, it's scriptural. Think about the offense, the hurt, the heartbreak, and all the struggles we've tried to get through in life. Think about the church hopping and mad at this minister. And I used to go to church. Well, I went over there, but pastor didn't even appreciate me. Well, he's so controlling. Well, sister so-and-so, I wish they'd have just kicked her out of church, so they didn't, so I left. All that stuff. It's nonstop. It's like a Christian soap opera. It's tragic. Like there's a cry room. We ought to just all go there. We should just go there and just cry over that for a little. We'll just laugh so we don't have to cry. Come on. Hurt and offense. We just think it's normal and heaven's scratching its head. God's not offended. He so loved the world. In the midst of the chaos, confusion, and delusion, his love is greater because he's not taking you personal. He loves you. That's why it never fails. But we've given up on each other. We've stereotyped. We've judged. First impressions. Oh, well, she. Oh, well, he. Stop. You're wrong. Created for his image. Forgive them, Father. Don't know what they do. That's the gospel, friend. And that'll guard your heart for the rest of your days. And 10 years later, I'll be this way. Yeah? Carrie, maybe worse. Because I'll probably know him a little bit more. So I might be worse, Joe. You get it? Let's be careful we don't get reduced to serving a doctrine without lives transformed. Because nobody could care less about what you believe if your life's not different. Are we reducing this thing to theological discussion? Trying to get the head nod from people that don't agree? That is not our goal. Our goal is to shine. Amen. To have peace when nobody does. Lord. To not be offended when everybody is. Come on. To never complain because it's not your life anymore. Amen. Just go to work and get caught up in the conversation and how unjust this work is. And that boss, I wish he'd almost have a heart attack. I mean, not die or anything, recover, but at least we'd have a break for a while. No, you're not supposed to be mad at your boss. You're supposed to shine. You're not supposed to pray for another job. Because you're mad at the one you work at. I hope God never lets you leave. I hope he balls and chains you at that workplace till you get a revelation. Because if you just run from what you hate and run from what you're bothered by, run from what gets on your nerves, you'll never get new nerves. And then somebody's always going to be the reason you're not okay. When somebody should be the reason you already are. I'm just painting a little picture of what laying down your life looks like. Denying yourself. I've seen people get Christian and they think they got more rights than they had before. Because they're Christian now. And they got a covenant with God. I think we forget the other side of covenant. All that is mine is yours. It's not just all that is yours is mine. This isn't some magic formula, abracadabra, Jesus name. Find my promise that pertains to my problem. Speak it out and God will come. Boom! And then when he doesn't, you're wondering why. And I thought he loved me. And what am I doing wrong? Is this not a book of principles to make your day work? It's an entryway and introduction into covenant and love. And relationship. And transformation. And faith. Hope and love. These three abide and remain, but the greatest is love. You see, but I'm pursuing faith. Faith works through love. Love casts out all fear. What you fear, you have no authority over. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is not an arrogant phrase. That is humbling and powerful. That he would pay a price to live inside of me, to love you through me, so that I could follow him and lay down my life for you, not get mad at you, not hate you, not judge you, not talk about you. Lay down my life. Don't get self-righteous. I don't know why I ain't laying my life down. He laid his life down for you. Now, I guess you were busy just being all right the whole time, huh? So you just always got it all right, huh? So you just did everything God ever created you to do. And every time you knew to do right, you did right. Never did wrong. I guess that's your resume. Anybody got that resume? You just always did right? You've just always been good? Did you ever do anything outside of your conscience? Did you ever do anything outside of what you knew that Bible said? Did you ever just cross over the line and just think, oh, well, he'll forgive me? So if he took the initiative we take towards others that hurt us because we're still living for us. See, because when you're not living for you, you can't be hurt by others. Because you understand it's never about you. It's always about the kingdom. So who can do you wrong? Whose wrong can outdo his right? When you really understand. And I just want to encourage you this morning because I'm just here to cheer you on. I told Pastor I wasn't going to go past 12:30. He can give me the mic till about 20 minutes ago, I think. But you could, no. You can see there's no pressure on me. We got this thing done. You all sitting here like this. I probably said plenty. You're convicted enough. Conviction's good. It means light. I'll tell you what. You leave here and seriously argue over where you're going to eat and why you always get to pick and how come I don't ever get, you'll think about it quick. I just pray that my face come right in the car. I don't care where we eat. I love you. Just let's just eat. Thank you for food, God. you know we get caught in this stuff. We leave church. Oh, wasn't that awesome? Oh, that was so amazing. Oh, man, when Joe told his testimony, goosebumps all over. And that song, oh, that is who he is. Oh, where you want to eat, baby? Well, I want to go. Why you want to eat there? And next thing you know, there's tension in the car. Kids in the back. And if you're not careful, you don't even realize what's happening. Inadvertently, don't even realize it. Innocently, don't even realize it. Teaching your children that Christianity's church attendance instead of Christ-likeness. No, I'm gonna. But thanks. Thanks for the encouragement. It's too late. He gave me the mic. I'm gonna. It's just funny how we do. You see, two folks, I remember years ago trying to go to church with my wife for a little bit because she wanted me to go because she said, I wish you'd come to church. I didn't want no parts of going to church. So I realized I was smart. I said, if I go to church, it'll make her happy. It wasn't about me living like Christ. It was just if I go to church. She's like, at least he's coming to church. Still living the same. Still making her cry on the way home. But at least I'm going. Shallow. So I was smart. But I know how it works. You know, folks trying to get ready to go to church. We make a church. They have children, mamas. It's that thing rises up and they ain't been going to church. Now they're pregnant. Well, I'm going to start looking for a church. Because my baby's going to church. And we make church attendance the goal instead of Christlikeness. And we teach generations that Christianity is what we do, not what we become. It's good preaching, man. It's saving me all over again, right? I'm so saved right now. I'm looking for the baptismal right now. Come up out of that water, Holy Spirit. Take a look, Papa, brand new baby boy. Ain't he awesome? Let me wrap up with this. When Jesus, don't miss this, okay? Like what we're preaching. Are you getting this point? But the whole reason you're on the planet is to shine, to be like him. That's seek ye first. Not second, first. Not second. Well-being. Physical wholeness. All that stuff's covenant privileges. It's okay to believe for that stuff. Pray for your children. It's okay to pray for a new job. You just don't let the time frame in that thing dictate your disposition or it becomes mattering more than what's most. It's okay to believe you don't get laid off in the big hit. But if you get the paper handed to you, don't become laid off. You're still a son. You have covenant. Shine. Smile. Be free. Don't go home and cry and call a prayer chain. That's a fear line when you do that. It's not cool. You just sending it out on your social media, getting everybody to pray. I just got laid off. Ah! Probably ought to just, wow, God. Didn't see this coming. I've been praying it wouldn't hit me, but it's hit a lot of others too. And I'm just so glad I know you. What would I do if I didn't know you? I'd probably fall apart. But man, you're for us. You're not against us. You know me. You know my family. I'm just going to knock on some doors. Somebody will see value and interest in me. As quick as this closed, something will open up because you're good. I just love you, Lord. And all of a sudden, you're over pumping gas. And Billy comes across, hey, man, how you doing? And you ain't going, man, I'm glad this is God. This is divine appointment, brother. You got to keep us in prayer. You got to keep my family in prayer. I just got laid off, man. You got everybody call the church. You're pumping gas. How you doing, man? And I'm talking about denial and trying to put on good face. I'm talking about believing and being okay because you are. Listen, my wife was laying in a coma with brain damage. That sounds so, but I understand what I preach. I'm pumping gas. You would never know. I wouldn't even bring it up. Why would I give it that much power? How you doing, brother? Oh, my God, keep me in prayer, man. I just came from the hospital. My wife's in a bad way, dude. But I know God. If we pray, he'll do it, man. Anything we touch, believing, praise. And you're quoting out your fear. Yeah. Hoping that something clicks and you get a breakthrough. I'm in a way greater covenant than that. And I understand that what I fear, I have no authority over. Now I'm just speaking words. Whoa. So you pump the gas. Hey, how you doing, Dan? Doing great, man. You walking it out? You living this thing, right, bud? Yeah, good, man. Love you. Why? Because I'm walking out room and lay hands on her. I can't be saying I'm believing. Afraid she's going to die. Wondering how I got this far. What if I opened a door? She probably, I wonder. It's my wife. The mother of my two children. I get it. I have a heart. I have emotions. But they're channeled through truth now, not sentiment. I know one thing. She ain't never going to die. And neither am I. And the most I can lose is some temporal wisp of a vapor time. And I ain't going to let that rule the rest of it. Well, I ain't been the same since so-and-so passed. I get what you're trying to say, but there's a greater truth to wrap around that sentiment. You love less all those things so you can live while you're here and get a right view and be helpful, not crushed. He's not here to serve us. He's here to transform us. Amen. I'm not going to preach this because I'll get too late. John 20, Jesus raised from the dead. If I read it, I'll take too long. It's so good. Somebody said today, what's my favorite scripture? I don't have favorite nothing. I don't even have a favorite color. I just like color. I don't. If I think I have a favorite scripture, about the time I quote it, 10 more bombard my heart. And all of a sudden I realize I just love his word. Because it's when you put all that scripture together, it should paint the most beautiful picture you and I have ever seen. When all that scripture, see, if you don't have this foundation in your faith, all the scriptures won't come and play perfect harmony. But if you understand that you're not on the earth for years, like, do you put metal in a microwave? Why? What made for that? And the way it's made and the way it works, if you do that, it violates its created value. And you'll blow the thing up if you keep violating that. Well, if you read the manufacturer's handbook, there's nobody on the earth that was made for themselves. So you keep living for yourself, you're going to blow the thing up. And you're going to blame somebody because that's what self does. But it won't be you. Wow. Jesus raised from the dead in John 20. The girls went. If you read all the Gospels, the girls went. The men weren't with them. You guys, us guys, huh? I could picture that one. Well, why are you going to the tomb? He's dead. I just picture, man. Why? Because they're afraid. They're afraid that what happened to him is going to happen to them. Well, you shouldn't even go out there. You're going to die. What's it matter if we die? He was our everything. Peter, you said, where would you go? No one has the words of life. Well, you're not even going to be able to move the stone. Well, if you guys would come and help. I mean, none of that scripture. I just like playing with it a little bit. Mary gets to the tomb. The stone's rolled away. The one that she loves, not there. She knows he's dead, but man, ain't nobody. She knows he's dead, but she's going to just lean on the rock, press her cheek, rub the oil, cry. It's a sad cry, but she loves him. And no one has ever touched her like he has. And to her, he's dead, and that's finality, and she can't let go. But the stone's rolled away. She sees this guy working in John 20. 15, and she thinks he's the gardener. And she says, sir, if you've taken him and laid him somewhere, would you take me to where you've taken him so I can get him? He says, Mary, her eyes instantly are open. Could you imagine this? This is not a movie. Amen. This happened to a woman who walked with him, who knew him, who was delivered by him. He said, Mary, she knows he's dead. She watched him get beaten, watched his visage disappear to where she didn't even know who he was. If she wasn't tracking with him from the beginning, she wouldn't know it was him. And they wrapped him head to toe and put him in the... I picture him trying to drag her out of there, sobbing and holding on and wanting to just close the stone behind her. And now he's right in front of her. He says, Mary. She goes, Rabboni, this is not a movie line. This is like a woman. Well, you know what she's doing? She's rabboni. Because he said, do not cling to me. She's coming. And she's coming hard. Rabboni. He probably, do not cling to me. He's not unsocial. He's not unsocial. He just raised from the dead. He loves Mary. He's got agenda. He's got the most important thing that's been waiting to happen before the foundations of the world. Like his blood has to go into heaven and be applied to the mercy seat so that God can make peace between God and man and wipe away sin and its power forever. So he says, Mary, hey girl, love you, would love to talk, but I gotta go to my father. The best thing's coming. But guess what he said right before that? Right before that. Who knows them disciples on the night he was betrayed? Jesus broke bread and they all said, we're gonna die for you. How many of them died for him? How many ran? One guy, theologians think it might even been John. I don't know how they think that stuff. I don't think that deep. I just want to catch the point. I'm not making fun of theologians. One disciple ran out of his garments and ran naked through the trees. Now, I'm not the brightest man that ever was, but when you run out of your clothes, I think you're trying to get away. I don't think you're laying down your life. I think you're trying to live. You don't even care if they see you. You streaking, baby. At least I'm alive. Why? Because men fear death. Because men fear death. Satan himself said man will do anything for himself. Man will do anything to save his own life. Satan said that to God, and he's right. Till the gospel comes and we understand, then we can make him wrong. Before you know Jesus, you have no power over this thing. Death freak you out. Fear eat you alive. Hurt, disappointment, normal to every man. Once Jesus comes, the light's supposed to expose all that. We're supposed to teach all that. Say, whew, we live in a different world. We came out of darkness in the light. We're in the world. We ain't of it. Oh, do you hear how wrapped this is with Scripture? There ain't no way out. There ain't no way out, girl. We'll make sure of that. He says to Mary, Mary. She says, Rabboni. He says, listen. Go tell my weak-willed two-faced, say one thing, do another. Runners instead of followers. Is that what he said? What did he say? Go tell my brethren. It's a covenant term. It's family. You know what he's saying? I know what they've done. I know where they've been. But I haven't changed my mind about them. They're still my boys. Love never fails. Go tell my brethren. I'm going to my father and your father. I'm going to my God and... You know what the word father means in that chapter? It means to come forth from. You know what the word God means in that chapter? Source of life. Watch. I'm going to the one I came forth from who's my source of life and the one that you came forth from who's your source of life.
Yes.
I would say that makes us one with him.
Amen.
He goes, could you imagine Mary going back and telling him all that, how that went down? Interesting. So he just settles it and he comes strolling right in the room. Doors are locked. They're in fear. They're not having a prayer meeting, guys. They're having a fear festival. They are scared silly, every man for himself. They won't open the door. They're afraid because it was brutal. Crucifixion. We'd have all been the same way. We're not making fun of them. But they were not spiritual in the moment. We'd all been the same. Jesus walks right in the middle of their fear. Just walks through the door, I guess. Just pops up. Poof, And there he stands. Could you imagine? And guess what he says? John 20, peace to you. He doesn't say, you got to be kidding me, Peter. Jesus knew what was happening to these guys. He laid down his life for these men. In today's Christian world, that's a hurting pastor. And we all validate his hurt because we look at the facts and miss love in the process. And we don't realize that the pastor's living for himself too, getting maybe his identity out of his ministry. You can't be hurt when you love not your own life. You can't be hurt when you love. Because you love. Love doesn't seek its own. Selfishness can't love. It's called the wisdom from below. Selfishness, James 3. Earthly, sensual, and demonic. The author and finisher of our faith, looking unto him, Hebrews 12, looking unto him who authored this thing, who will finish this thing. Consider him, right? For the joy that's set before him, despise the shame, pass through, right? Right? And it says, consider him who didn't take the sin against him personal. He endured the sin against himself. Lest you, consider him who did that, lest you be weary and discouraged in your soul and think you have something to complain about. He says, peace to you. Peace to you. John would lay his head on his chest all the time. At the Last Supper, he's cuddled up to Jesus. Disciples were motioning, you're so close, asking me, who's going to betray you? Remember, he said, somebody at the table is going to betray me? And they're like, who? They're like, John, ask him who it is. Ask him. John's right here. Jesus already knows John's going to betray him. You think, see, if that's today's world, John, get off of me, man. I know you better, John. When this thing hits the bricks, man, you're going to be one of the first ones out of here, dude. I saw you run out of your clothes in prayer. Peter, you're going to deny me before the rooster crows three times that you even know me. Ain't no way, Lord. Oh, it's going to happen. But when he raised from the dead, he called him brethren. And he said, peace to you. Peace to you. Why? He's talking about the peace that he made through his blood between God and man. You now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, right? Watch this. They looked and realized it was him. He showed them his hands, his side, and they went, it's the Lord. And right out of his mouth, second time, peace to you. It's a different peace than the first. The first peace was, I've just made peace between you and God. The second peace is, hey, stop feeling uncomfortable. Bam. Because as soon as they knew it was him, they're thinking how they ran, betrayed him, and didn't do anything they told him they'd do when he was alive. The first thing they were thinking of is how they failed. And he said, peace to you. Second time. And then he said something amazing. He said, as the Father, as the Father sent me, so I send you. It's that power, glory, rah, miracles. That's what we always preach. But for God so, the ability for Jesus to look at his disciples who did nothing right and call them brethren is what he's talking about. As the Father sent me, so I send. And then what did he do? He breathed on them and said, receive Holy Spirit. Why did he breathe? Why didn't he just speak it? He holds all things together by the word of his power. Why didn't he just say, Philip, help me, line up. Phil. Why did he breathe on them? Because he's the redemption of man. He brings man back to the beginning. Redemption brought back to the beginning. How did God make man in the garden? What was lost through sin? the image and everything in the breath. What did Jesus do through his blood, which speaks better things? He took man back to the beginning, to day one, because of his blood speaking as if sin never happened, and started afresh as the redemption of man, the last Adam. Live again in my image. I think we ought to just say, okay.
Rather than, yeah, but you don't know how I feel. Well, you don't know what happened to me when I was 8. Well, you don't know what it was like growing up in my home.
Why do we let all that wisdom from the world and that rationale draw sentiment, draw attention, and no help? It's the truth that makes you free. The truth. We compare ourselves among ourselves. We're not wise. You think your story's bad and somebody's is worse. Why? Because sin is trying to sell us cheap and buy us out. But you're not for sale. You've been bought with a price. And you're not your own. So here's what I'll leave you with. And I tried to close 4 times and I'm late. Okay, watch. I'm done after this, and I'm just going to sit down, so you better be ready. Because I'm just here to inspire you today. It's not about ministry right now. This is ministry. It's called the ministry of the truth. It's very important. In fact, my whole vision for Sunday morning, when I would pastor, is come and celebrate just like we did. Adore him, appreciate him, speak out and sing out who he is. Keep that thing relevant in front of us as a people, right? But then be stirred up and riled up in love and good works. So that when you walk out of the door, hopefully from a minister's shoes, you go out looking just a little more like him than when you came. If we do that, we've done well. But here's what he said. He says, the Father sent me, so I send. Theological people say, yeah, but brother, see, that's where you're stretching it, because he was talking to the disciples, yeah. And he told the disciples to go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything I taught you. So if he's talking to Peter, James, and John, he's talking to me. It just astounds me how we try to talk around truth when truth's what's here to make us free. So as the Father sent me, so I send you. Receive Holy Spirit. Boom. Day one. Redemption. As if sin never happened. And then he says this. If you forgive the sins of any, they shall be. What's he ordaining them to be when he breathes on them and gives them this commission? The embodiment of Christ. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, they shall be what? But if you don't forgive the sins, they won't be forgiven. What's he saying? He's saying, guys, listen. I just put who I am in you. I just lived as a living epistle and example. I'm handing you the baton of the New Covenant, New Testament church. And if you go out and love them like I've loved you in your failure, your weakness, your inconsistency, if you go out and love them like I've just loved you, they will know the way to love. But if you stereotype, judge, get into works, legalistic, let your hearts get hurt and hard, and you don't forgive, how will they know forgiveness when you're the body of Christ? To me, don't be judged by this, be inspired by this. It's a tragedy when a Christian lives offended, because he is deemed powerless and unproductive. And that's the goal. To give you a right to have a right when you supposedly gave your life. So how can you deny yourself and have so many rights? See, when you deny yourself, you give up every right to obtain one, to be like him. You with me? You get it? That's why we're on the planet. That's what denying yourself means. I've heard this preached before. Christianity will cost you everything. All it costs you is what you never were in the first place. All it costs you is to give back the lie, what you were trained by growing up. I've heard people say to me, well, Dan, God gives us emotions. He gave us emotions. He didn't give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave you them. Every emotional expression in your life flowed out of a self-centered wellspring. That's why you were angry without trying. That's why you were self-conscious without thinking about it. Because you were living from the place of living for you, and all your emotions are attached to that motive. So when you deny yourself, even your emotions get redeemed and restored. Oh, can I pray over you? Because I'm really late. Can I pray over you? Would you stand to your feet? Lift your hands high to heaven. It's just a sign of receiving. It's just you saying, I believe you're the great potter. Come and mold me and shape me. You don't have to lift your hands if you don't want to. It doesn't mean God won't move. If you understand what this means, just do it, right? If you're a sincere yes, I mean, do it, right? Yeah, if you're not a yes, probably shouldn't do it. Just get real with your own self and wonder why you're not a yes, right? And don't just be religious. Hey, nobody will know. Yeah, you know. And that's the problem. See, you're living with a violated conscience, and then you don't think well of yourself, so you can't have intimacy with God because you think more of Him. Wow. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you for radical, wonderful transformation and change. No turning back. I prayed last night and I'm praying it again, Lord, and I'm believing it's happening, that there is no turning around, that this truth mark our hearts, that if we live outside of this truth, we would know it immediately, that we would have a chance to respond immediately, that it's not about failing, it's about becoming. And Lord God, I thank you that we will continue in the faith and we will continue to receive grace and we will walk this truth out till the day you come and receive us all. Father, let our lives make a difference in the lives of others, because you sure made a difference in me. In Jesus' name. Amen.